College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go look and dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast, coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. This is our Mountain West Conference preview edition of the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in this show, we will be joined by New Mexico head coach Craig Neal, and want you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes, and also give us a review on the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And today's show is brought to you by Harry's. For far too long, you've either paid too much for a comfortable shave or you've settled for a low price but low quality razor. Harry's offers something you've never had before, a great shave at a fair price. Good shave, good price. It's simple. Get the best of both with Harry's. Harry's starter set is a great option. For just $15, you get a razor handle, moisturizing shaving cream, and three of Harry's five-blade German-engineered razors. Plus, there's a special offer for fans of the show. Harry's will give you $5 off on your first purchase with promo code HOOPS. Go to harrys.com right now and look for the Truman Set. That's H-A-R-R-Y-S.com. Enter code HOOPS at checkout to get $5 off and help support the show. Stop compromising. Give Harry's a try today. Now that we've got you set up for your shaving needs, we will dissect, digest, and offer some perspective on the Mountain West Conference in college basketball. The elephant in the room right now with the Mountain West Conference in basketball, is this conference a one-bid league? Because just 3.5 years ago, in 2013, the Mountain West Conference had five teams in the NCAA tournament. And last year, this conference, in a season in which Louisville and SMU, two teams that would have been in the NCAA tournament with their resumes, were banned from the field. In a year in which that happened, San Diego State, who won the regular season title easily in the Mountain West Conference, had a 25-9 record, a top 40 RPI, and a win over Cal on a neutral court, did not get an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. So the question then remains, is this a one-bid league moving forward? And also, what has happened to the Mountain West? I'll tell you what's happened to the Mountain West. UNLV is going through right now an arduous rebuilding process. They have not been to the NCAA tournament multiple years. And New Mexico, who we're obviously going to visit with their head coach, Craig Neal, here in a couple minutes, has taken a two-year hiatus from the field of 68. So when we saw this league flourish, you had Steve Alford dominating at New Mexico. He had a team that was a three seed in the NCAA tournament before it lost to Harvard in 2013. You saw UNLV making the NCAA tournament. And right now, San Diego State is on an island by itself. And that is why the non-conference portion of the schedule, when teams have the opportunity to make hay in November, December, is extremely pivotal for the Mountain West Conference. Because if we learned anything last year from San Diego State not getting an at-large bid, it's that teams from the ACC, like Syracuse last year, who wound up in the Final Four despite going 9-9 in conference play, are going to get the benefit of the doubt over a team like a San Diego State who did not have the opportunity to get an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. So you look at this league right now, November, December, I'm going to give you a couple of games to circle. New Mexico's trip to Arizona in December and also San Diego State's game against Gonzaga in Spokane. Two big opportunities for this league to really start to move the needle. Another storyline that you have to keep an eye on is what's going on at Nevada. Eric Musselman has pumped massive energy into this program. The Wolfpack had a big win over New Mexico last year in the Mountain West Conference tournament. They wound up winning 24 games as well as the CBI. They add a transfer in Marcus Marshall from Missouri State, who averaged just under 20 points a game two seasons ago. Another solid transfer and a starting caliber forward in Jordan Caroline, who transferred from Southern Illinois. And I think they might have pound for pound, inch for inch, the best front court player that nobody knows about in college basketball in Cameron Oliver. So San Diego State is the team to beat. Nevada and New Mexico are lurking. But what is right now the state of the Lobos? We find out when we return, when we're joined by New Mexico head coach Craig Neal. This is the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. New Mexico has two all-league players this season, and Elijah Brown and Tim Williams, and the head coach of the Lobos joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Right now, he is Craig Neal, otherwise known as Noodles in college basketball circles. And Noodles, what is the summer like in Albuquerque, New Mexico?
Well, it's warm. No, it's going good. We've just been, we had our guys in June. We had two of our freshmen didn't get in until July, and Damian Jefferson here, a good. But other than that, we had most of our guys here this summer. They put in a lot of work and trying to get ready for the upcoming season.
Obviously, last season was emotionally trying for you in a number of different areas. Upon reflection, what was the hardest part for you in terms of going through the 15-16 campaign as head coach in New Mexico?
Well, I think, I had a young team, a team that hadn't been through a lot of battles together. We started, 3 sophomores, 2 seniors, and two juniors, and one junior hadn't played here. He ended up being first team all league in Tim Williams. Then we came off the bench with 2 sophomores and 3 freshmen. So, it was a little up and down with them as far as a maturity standpoint and experience. So, I think they learned a lot. I think they won some games that, they competed at a high level. We lost some close ones that we might have won with a little bit more experienced team. And then, we had some struggles, and then having having our point guard leave and Cullen leaving so it's made it a little different. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I think he made it a little bit easier for Elijah. So we're going to have to get some point guard play by committee with Jordan Hunter and Jalen Harris. So, I'm excited about our team just with the guys coming back. But last year was a good learning experience, and hopefully they learned a lot and they'll mature from it. And they'll be ready for battle this year as far as the bumps and bruises they took last year as a group.
You mentioned the fact that, Cullen Neal, your point guard, left, who is also your son. What was the hardest part of coaching your son that maybe you didn't know before he committed to play for New Mexico?
Well, I just think the dynamics played into it here. Expectations, being a high school player here, and then I had him my first year as my first head coaching job, and we ended up winning a championship in the tournament, going to the NCAA tournament, and then expectations. But, the bottom line is I wanted what was best for him as a dad and making him happy, and it wasn't a good situation here with the dynamics. It was fine within our team and within our framework, but outside it wasn't conducive for him being successful. So, he made a mature decision and ended up leaving. And, I think our guys have moved on, and I think he's moved on, and he's in a great situation. And, hopefully I know I learned from it. I'm sure he learned from it, but I think our team will move forward and go on from there. But, really excited. We got 10 guys coming back, and we added 4 really good recruits that I think all 4 of them will play pivotal roles for our team this year.
When did you make the decision that it was time for him to leave New Mexico for good? What was that? When was that point?
Well, I didn't make it, John. I mean, he made it. He made it in February. He wasn't happy, and all the outside stuff that was going on affected him, and he did everything he could to play at a high level, and he did play at a high level. I mean, he ended up leaving here almost 700 points and almost 200, he had 200 assists in his career, which we haven't had a lot of guys do in 2 years. So, but I just, my biggest thing was I just wanted him to be happy, like I want with all my players. It's just not him, but, it becomes a different deal because he's your son and he's playing here, but he had 2 really good years playing. He liked it here. He knows he grew up in the program. So, it was difficult, but that was a decision he made, and I would do that for any of my players, but he made a decision for him, for his happiness, and you know, we just, you know, I wish him the best, and you know, he's my son, so I'll be following him and cheering for him, but you know, then our team's going to go forward.
What advice would you give a colleague in the coaching fraternity if he approaches you about potentially coaching his son?
You know, I think it's all on personal basis. I think it's always on an individual basis. It's a great opportunity to spend a lot of time and have fun. I mean, we had a good 2 years, 3 years he was here. He's injured his sophomore year. So, you know, you can't replace those experiences and the time you have with him. And, you know, it's all going to be individual based. It all is going to come down to where you're coaching, what you're doing, expectations, and, what it's about as far as the city, the community, because it's all going to be different. And, you know, I think you have to take all those accounts.
New Mexico head coach Craig Neal joining John Rothstein here today on the College Hoops Today podcast. New Mexico with two of the best players in the Mountain West and Elijah Brown and Tim Williams. Lobos look to be set up for a bounce back season. And, you know, Noodles, I really thought your team played well in two big games that you didn't win last year in the non-conference portion of the schedule against USC and against Purdue. But it seemed like in December, things kind of went in the wrong direction. What happened to your team right before the holidays and then obviously in the Diamond Head Classic?
Well, I just think they put so much effort. We had a learning curve in the sense that, you know, they went out there to try to win the Diamond Head Classic, and we had a really good game against Auburn who had, you know, it was a really good game, and I just think the wind get out of their sails for a young group. And you know, it's just like I told them, we had a tough loss at San Diego State, and they've got to bounce back through that adversity and get better at it, because it was just like once we lost to Auburn, they didn't think they could win the tournament, and they didn't play up to their capabilities, and we still were trying to find ourselves, and I think that took a little toll on us. And then, you know, losing to San Diego State at San Diego State the way we did, I think their mentality and their goal was to win the championship, and they just felt like they couldn't do it then. They just couldn't bounce back from that. And we got to get better at that. We got to move forward when we do lose games and go forward and try to play at a high level and get better each game. And I just think that that's just the maturity of a group.
Is the dynamic now different for a team in the Mountain West in the non-conference portion of the schedule because the conference hasn't been as strong as maybe 3 or 4 years ago? Is there more pressure to win those games, especially since San Diego State won the league last year and didn't get an at-large bid?
Well, John, I think the biggest thing that we haven't talked about as a conference is that all this has taken place. You know, we had 5 bids 1 year. We had 3 bids. We've averaged 3-plus bids, but that was before all this Power Five has started. Mm-hmm. And, you know, since the Power Five is taken into account, we haven't done as well. We haven't won as many out-of-conference games that we should as a group. And I think we just got to get back to winning out-of-conference games that are important for us to get at-large bids. And also, you know, the San Diego State thing last year is very – it was very tough for a league, just the sense that they were definitely an NCAA team that just didn't get in. So it's one of those things where I just think we have to win games, you know, outside of the conference slate.
Well, that's the thing, though, because if you look at the resume for San Diego State, they had 25 wins. They beat Cal on a neutral court. They have a top 40 RPI. But not only did they not get in, they didn't get in a year where Louisville and SMU, two teams that were banned from the tournament who would have been NCAA teams, weren't eligible for the field. So you look at that San Diego State team and Syracuse, who was 9-9 in the ACC, and I know they went to the Final Four, gets in over a team like that, and they lost, I think, in the quarterfinals of the ACC tournament. How do you and your other coaches in your league amend that and try to be in a situation where more teams can come out of this conference?
Well, John, I think that's the big thing. I think they won 25 games. They beat Cal. They had a high RPI, which we've been told we have to do that. They've won some games, but I just think one thing that hurt us last year is we lost some games. All our teams lost some games with some high RPI numbers. Like we lost to Rice, they lost to San Diego. A lot of our teams lost some games to some high number RPIs, which I think hurt our league RPI. But I think San Diego State did everything that they're supposed to do to get there. And it's perplexing to me because I think as a league, we're being proactive and doing what we can to improve our RPI, our scheduling. But, for example, my first year coaching here, we won 27 games. We won 26 before the NCAA tournament. We won the Mountain West. We were an automatic qualifier. We won away from home. You know, our RPI was in the top, 30, top 25, might even been higher than that. We ended up with a 7 seed. So I just don't know where the rhyme or reason is on the selection of teams in our conference. So I think we're doing everything we can to schedule better. I think we're doing everything we can to get our RPIs up. But in case study, if you look at it over the last few years, it's kind of perplexing to all of us.
New Mexico head coach Craig Neal joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Lobos, again, one of the top teams in the Mountain West next year, have missed the NCAA tournament the past two seasons. You were Steve Alford's top assistant, and you guys obviously had things rolling at New Mexico, and your first team at New Mexico, as you said, won the Mountain West. What's the biggest thing you know now about being a head coach, especially at a place like New Mexico, that you didn't know when you were the top assistant?
Well, I think the biggest thing, John, that hurt us after my first year was when we lost somebody like Alex Kirk. He decided to go in the draft his junior year, and we didn't have anybody. We hadn't been recruiting. We were recruiting at a high level. We still are. It's just that we weren't in a position to replace him. That was a big hit. But, to Alex's credit, he did what was best for him, and it was successful. And we want all our players to do that. It's similar to what happened with Tony Snell. And we were just fortunate that when Tony left as a junior, we had some guys in the fold, and Alex's thing kind of happened unexpectedly, and we weren't ready for that. And we've just been more selective in recruiting. It's hard for a place like us to replace guys that do that. And now that I think that that's happened to us, we've done that, and we've stayed on top of that, continued to recruit, and you never know if somebody's going to leave, and especially with the graduate transfer rule, guys sitting out transferring out, they graduate, they can leave. So, that's been an interesting thing for us, that we've had to change our philosophy on how we do things, and we've continued to do it. One thing that we've done here that we've been real successful is developing players, and I think that's what we did last year. I think that's going to come. We're going to have the fruits of our labor is going to happen this year with our team, and we'll continue to do that after this year, and hopefully it'll pay off for us.
Who, in terms of the guys you're bringing back that might be slightly off the radar, do you think will make the biggest jump this season?
Well, I think Sam Waldwood's the guy. I think you've seen Sam play, and I think Sam can do a lot of things for us. I think Xavier Adams will be a crucial player for us on how successful we'll be. And then we've got to get some good play from our freshman group that were freshmen last year that now are sophomores, and Dane Kuyper, Jordan Hunter, and Anthony Pappas. If we can get those guys to become better players this year for us, it'll give us depth that we haven't had over the years. And we'll be able to play deep in our bench, which we haven't done in the past. And then last year, nobody really wants to talk about it, John. We lost Devin Williams to a career-ending injury with his neck when he laid on the floor at New Mexico State. And, we had a scary moment there. But, that ended his career, and he was a 30-game starter for us, and he would have been a 30-game starter that played for us in the front court that was going to be probably one of the best six-man in the league. And we've lost him, so that's hard to replace. But I think my staff's done a really good job doing that. We got a recruit in Connor McDougal that played at Arizona State. That was an All-American last year in junior college for 1 year, 6'9 kid that's really going to help us in the front court.
The New Mexico fan base, as you know better than anybody, is passionate. They're passionate. They travel. They take holidays to go to the Mountain West Conference Tournament. What is your message right now to the New Mexico fan, the fan that's wondering as we're getting ready to start fall workouts right now, that is this season going to be different than the past two? What is your message to that fan?
Well, I think the biggest thing with the year we struggled at my second year is just we had a lot of injuries. Losing Alex hurt us, and we battled. We just didn't have the players in place to do that. Last year I thought we had a good year. We finished fourth in the league with a young group and could have possibly been higher. We're doing it the right way. Our guys are maturing. You know, we're excited about the season. You got to realize from 66 to 97, they had only won seven championships in that span. And in 10 years I've been here, we've already won seven. So our fans are excited about our program, and we just had a couple subpar years that hopefully we'll bounce back from that this year, and we'll go forward, and we'll have a few more years like we've had in the past.
You know, you touched on some personal things, obviously, with your son Cullen at the start of our conversation. I'm curious, you know, Steve Alford's obviously your closest friend in the business. What has it been like for you as a friend to see him have to go through some of the stuff that he's had to deal with after last season at UCLA?
Well, it's just hard because we're coaching our sons at high profile institutions as far as the fan bases, and it's a little different if you're coaching your son at a lower off the radar situation where it's not, you know, here we're like the NBA team, we're the flagship university. We have an unbelievable facility. We've got good tradition. So it's hard. And you know, Steve took over one of the top five basketball programs in the country. Mm-hmm. And to his credit, he took them to a Sweet 16 twice, back-to-back years. I think they're going to have a terrific year this year. He had a top five recruiting class. I think Bryce is an exceptional player. I think he's one of the better players in the country. It's just, when you're coaching your son in a situation in the high-profile communities that we have been, it's just a little bit different than in the non-traditional high-profile programs.
Final thing, you know, anybody who gets older or has more experience is wiser. Is there anything you would do differently after your first 3 years on the job?
Not really, because we've kind of just stayed the course in what we had with success before. We just had some bad luck. You got to look at our teams. When Steve was here, and I think he's one of the best coaches in the country, we were very fortunate that we didn't have any injuries.
Right.
You know, we had some injuries my first year when Alex Kirk had to sit out four games. He had a hot spot in his leg. Cullen was out for the season his sophomore year, which is the year we were under 500. Last year we had the Devin Williams injury. So we've had some injuries that have devastated us as far as key people that it didn't happen in the past when we were really highly successful. So hopefully, knock on wood, we won't have any of those this year, and we'll have a clean slate and be able to go ahead and play right away. And I know our guys are looking forward to it. I know our staff and myself are looking forward to the season. Really excited about the two guys that were first team last year, but I'm really excited about our team, John. I like our depth, which always helps. And my staff's done a good job recruiting to fulfill that. But, you know, that's the only thing I think you can't, you know, we're not a program that, you know, we got 13 or 14 guys and the next guy can step in. I think our guys gained some valuable experience when Devin went out last year that'll help us. So, you know, hopefully we'll have the depth that if that happens again. But I think the biggest thing is we had some unlucky situations with injury.
Well, Noodles, looking forward to covering it. We appreciate a couple minutes. Best of luck starting fall workouts, and I'll definitely be in touch as we inch closer to the start of practice.
All right, brother. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
I'd like to thank New Mexico head coach Craig Neal for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Again, want to remind you to subscribe to us on iTunes and also give us a review on the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And now we've been dissecting everything there is to know about the Mountain West. Let's take a look at the power rankings.
John's Mountain West Power Rankings.
San Diego State, the clear favorite at number one, a dynamic backcourt with Jeremy Hemsley and Trey Kell. I've got Nevada 2, New Mexico 3. Those two are like splitting atoms at this point. Fresno State at 4, a name to keep an eye on, Jerron Hopkins, the transfer from Colorado. Utah State and Jalen Moore at 5. Colorado State 6, Boise State, Air Force, UNLV at 9 in year one under Marvin Menzies. A little weird to see the running Rebels that far down, but it's a straight rebuild in Sin City. San Jose State 10, Wyoming 11. Time now to look at the best of the best players-wise in the Mountain West.
John's Mountain West preseason first team.
I'm going to go with Jeremy Hemsley from San Diego State. It was a freshman last year. Elijah Brown, the dynamic scorer from New Mexico. Marcus Marshall from Nevada. Talked about him. Transfer from Missouri State. Cam Oliver from Nevada. And also Tim Williams from New Mexico. So two from Nevada, two from New Mexico, one from San Diego State. But San Diego State, by far the best depth of talent in this league. Time now to look at the Mountain West Preseason Player of the Year.
John's Mountain West Preseason Player of the Year.
For me, this is an easy choice. It's Elijah Brown from New Mexico. 18 games last year with 20 points or more, and the Lobos played 33 times last season. He's the son of former NBA head coach Mike Brown, a dynamic scorer, one that really has become appointment television. Now that we know that New Mexico, Nevada, and San Diego State are all in bold print, who's the sleeper in this league?
John's Mountain West Sleeper.
For me, it's Fresno State, and I know that Marvell Harris, Cesar Guerrero, and Julian Lewis are all gone from last year's team that upset San Diego State in the conference tournament title game to clinch a bid to the NCAA tournament, but I think Fresno State has role players back. I mentioned Jerron Hopkins, the transfer from Colorado, and they've also got one of my impact freshmen.
John's freshman to watch in the Mountain West.
Number one, William McDowell-White from, you guessed it, Fresno State, a 6'5 point guard with all the tools. This was the first five-star recruit that Rodney Terry signed at Fresno State. Some other freshmen to watch, two on New Mexico, Jalen Harris, a guy that's going to compete for that starting point guard spot, and also Damian Jefferson. Deverl Ramsey, a name to learn for Nevada, 5'10 point guard that can pressure the opponent's floor general from NN, and Kobe McEwen from Utah State. Now let's look at some imports.
John's transfers to watch in the Mountain West.
Marcus Marshall and Jordan Caroline from Nevada. Those two are easy. Montecki Gill Caesar and Max Holtzel from San Diego State. And also Jerron Hopkins from Fresno State. So San Diego State's going to depend, obviously, on two transfers. Techie Gill Caesar and Max Holtzel. Steve Fisher told me when I saw him in June that Holtzel has been San Diego State's best offensive rebounder. Another name to put on the list for transfers, Valentine Azundu from Washington State. He will be a key piece inside for San Diego State. Now let's look at some breakout guys.
John's Mountain West breakout players for next season.
Sam Logwood from New Mexico, Zylan Cheatham from San Diego State. Loved what I saw out of Cheatham last year as a freshman. Dwayne Morgan from UNLV. He'll have a bigger piece of the pie for the Running Rebels. Lindsey Drew from Nevada and Paul Watson from Fresno State. So there you have it. It's a league, the Mountain West, that again, 3.5 years ago, had five teams in the NCAA tournament, but there was a time during that stretch where New Mexico, San Diego State, and also UNLV were regularly in the top 25. Those times have changed. So I'm curious to see right now if Nevada or New Mexico can take a seat at the table with San Diego State and compete for a berth in the top 25 on a semi-regular basis. Going to be interesting to see what happens with the Lobos, who have not been to the NCAA tournament since 2014. We'd like to thank the head coach of New Mexico, Craig Neal, for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'd like to thank you as well for all your support during the summer. This concludes our summer preview series as we have broken down every major conference in college basketball from soup to nuts. Kids are going back to school. That means college basketball right around the corner. 5 weeks from Friday, practice will officially begin, the greatest sport we have in this country, in my opinion anyways. So we'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.